The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the abortion facility June Medical Services versus Russo. This is the statement from Louisiana Right to Life. Louisiana Right to Life is conducting further review of the decision at this time and will be issuing a more comprehensive statement shortly. And Senator Jackson has released the following statement. The Supreme Court has issued what she says is a tragic decision that continues its practice of putting the interests of for-profit abortion businesses ahead of the health and safety of women. Together with my colleagues, both Democrats and Republicans, and women and men, we passed the Unsafe Abortion Protection Act to protect the health and safety of women in Louisiana. While today's decision is not what we wanted, we will never stop working to put the women of Louisiana above the interests of the abortion businesses. John Moeller, welcome to the show, head of the Louisiana Budget Project. And she's turned this into a business discussion. Senator Jackson is. Senator Jackson, by the way, is an extremely nice person. And unlike others in politics, she really believes what she's saying. I don't think there's an insincere bone in her body, but some people believe she's on the wrong side of history and on the wrong side of women's rights. And once again, the Louisiana legislature gets slapped down on abortion by the U.S. Supreme Court. Not the first time this has happened.
No, there's precedent for this. So this just happened in the last 15 minutes. So, but yeah, big news.
Big news, and the Louisiana legislature has veered from almost all Democratic back in the 80s, when, mind you, many of the Democrats were conservatives, but now it's controlled by the Republican legislature, and on any number of issues, they're at odds with the governor of Louisiana. But on this one, Governor Edwards has continued the same path that Governor Jindal did, and I'm sure many in Louisiana, and we're probably statistically more pro-life, if you like that term, than other states. There's a lot of hostility now toward Justice John Roberts.
There really is. You know, I've only been around 17 years around the state capitol, so not as long as you, Jim, but this is one of those issues, abortion, that has, like you said, been bipartisan in favor of the pro-life position, whatever. And I think, you know, everybody's position on this issue is pretty hard and fast. Very few people ever change their mind. But I think in the Louisiana legislature, this is one of those that's always cut across party lines, at least as long as I've been watching it.
Well, it was 30 years ago tomorrow night that the legislature took a flag-burning bill sponsored by James David Cain and turned it into an anti-abortion bill at the last minute. Banning abortion. It was considered germane because it was, instead of battery on a flag burner, battery on a fetus, and they allowed that to get through. That law was struck down, but it was passed, vetoed by Governor Romer, who paid for his veto with his job. But the person who was in front on the abortion issue in those moments was a representative, Woody Jenkins, who's still around. He hasn't, I'm looking at his Facebook page now, he hasn't opined about this decision, but he does say Black Lives Matter doesn't own this country, the history of this country, and they don't get to hijack it. That from Woody Jenkins, who is lathered up about the discussion we're having. He says they don't care about the monuments. Their goal is to topple America. Jan Moeller.
I would respectfully disagree with Mr. Jenkins on that. I think, yeah, the monuments discussion is so interesting because, nobody in Germany forgets the Holocaust or what happened during World War II just because there aren't any monuments to Adolf Hitler in the streets of Berlin. So I think, when people say we're trying to erase history by taking down a monument, I would just disagree. I think we put monuments to the things we want to honor. And I think the time to if there was ever a time to honor the Confederacy, it is not now. I think we have learned that is a shameful part of our history, and I'm glad that we're finally having this conversation. It's a long overdue conversation.
Jan Moeller is director of the Louisiana Budget Project, which monitors and reports on state government spending and how it affects Louisiana's low to moderate income families. Award-winning journalist, formerly with the Times-Picayune. He worked at the State Capitol Bureau, where he covered the budget, health care policy, higher education, races for governor and U.S. Senate, and now He is covering the Capitol in a different way, and we'll get his take about what happens in the last few moments. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Jan Moeller, head of the Louisiana Budget Project, is with us, and we're going to go to the phone lines. We've got some folks waiting to talk with him. Right now, as I mentioned, the governor is not playing a great hand, and business interests control the legislature. The governor is at odds with them over any number of matters, most notably minimum wage, equal pay, go down the list, and lawsuits against the oil and gas industry for actions that have been detrimental to the coast. What is the governor doing to hold the line? Does he have a good enough hand that he can get his way and the way of his followers at least part of the time?
Well, he still has a veto pen, and as long as you have the veto pen and you have the control of a lot of the appointments and you control the state agencies, then you do control quite a lot. I mean, the governor has always been extremely powerful in Louisiana. Maybe today, he doesn't hold as much power as maybe some other governors did in the past, but he still carries a lot of influence, and as long as he can veto some of these bills that gets to his desk, overriding a veto is a really tall order. It has not happened for many years in Louisiana. We thought that there was going to be a veto override vote on the tort reform bills. We haven't seen that yet, and we only have, 2 days left in the regular session. So, don't write off Governor Edwards just yet.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on Talk Louisiana with Jan Moeller.
Yeah, Mr. Miller, given the affinity the pro-life evangelicals seem to have for gun rights, do you think the Supreme Court has increased the security for Chief Justice Roberts and his family?
I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that question, but certainly, I'm sure the Chief Justice is well protected already, and But he's going to have a target on his back,
well,
at least metaphorically speaking.
Jan used to work for would be a better word, Jack Anderson, one of the great muckrakers of his time. And when I was in college, I actually had a chance to talk briefly with Jack Anderson, who was speaking at LSU. And he said that he went out and got a black belt in karate in case somebody gave him some trouble. He wanted to be ready.
Yeah, well, you talk about, these battles between politicians and the news media. Jack Anderson back in the day had G. Gordon Liddy, when he worked in the White House, was actually proposed a plan to poison him So for some of the stuff that he was writing. So this animosity between presidents and the people who covered them goes back a long, long way. It didn't start with Donald Trump.
877-217-5757 for Jan Moeller. There's been much discussion about so-called tort reform and lowering insurance rates, and there is a bill that is a revised bill that will probably pass the legislature after the governor vetoed round one. Where do you think this is going in the home stretch?
That has been one of the few issues that we have not been involved with at the Budget Project, so I think that's anybody's guess. Certainly that's been taking up a lot of the bandwidth at the legislature. Our focus, Jim, has been on the budget and the tax situation. The legislature was advised by the business community to cut taxes on businesses. And so it looks like there's going to be between $40 to $80 million worth of tax cuts landing on the governor's desk. And when you cut taxes on business, you reduce the revenue that we have to spend on things like LSU faculty members,
right,
state employee pay raises that they were due, education, all of the other investments that are necessary to have a strong state. So our concern has really been on the budget process, and that is the one that's also has to near the finish line. So the budget, the fiscal year starts on Wednesday.
That's right. So they got to do something.
They have to get this done either today or tomorrow.
Vicky writes, the changes in abortion access affect only poor women. I don't know of a woman of means whose 15-year-old pregnant granddaughter would carry the pregnancy forward. That teen's abortion would not likely be recorded as a statistic. In any case, whether abortion is legal, a teen from a family of relative wealth will have access, whether by a vacation in another state or another country. Just call it medical tourism. She says this law would have been detrimental to poor people in the state who sought abortions. rich people, in Vicky's estimation, would have found a way, some other way to do it.
I think that's a very valid point, I think that's absolutely right, because no matter what happened in Louisiana, abortion is still going to be legal and accessible in other states where that have a different view on this issue. And again, if you have the means and you're determined to get an abortion, you still would be able to. But if you don't have the means, that's who would have been most affected if this law had been held up by the Supreme Court.
Jason in Jones Creek says, as much as I dislike former Governor Jindal, I long to have a person like him as president. With his background in healthcare, his overall knowledge in education, I think our country would be in better shape in this pandemic. Do you think it would have made a difference if Jindal had won instead of Trump?
I do think that Bobby Jindal, who I disagreed with on a lot of things, at least understood policy and had some ability to manage a government, skills that we haven't really seen in large supply from President Trump. So I think I would have disagreed with a lot of decisions that Bobby Jindal made if he had become president, but I think he would have certainly managed the pandemic a lot better. But I think almost anybody in America would have managed the pandemic better than Donald Trump.
What about minimum wage? Obviously, when we look at what people are getting to be on the sidelines during COVID-19, $600 a week from the government is basically saying the minimum wage should be $15 an hour because 15 times 40 is 600. Yet in Louisiana, it's $725, and the legislature will not buckle, won't even go up to $750, much less $15. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the $600 a week is what people need to live, to just keep their head above water. It's not going to make anybody rich. But I do think it's ironic that people are complaining that folks won't go back to work at their minimum wage jobs because of the money they're collecting from unemployment. If you are a business that can't find workers because unemployment is too lucrative, then that says more about you as an employer than it does about the person who's not going back to work. I think people do want to work. Almost everybody wants to earn their keep in this world, but nobody can keep their head above water if they're making $7.25 an hour. That is simply not a living wage. So I applaud Congress for passing this as part of the CARES Act, and hopefully there'll be a new round of stimulus because these unemployment payments expire at the end of July. So come August 1st and beyond that, if Congress doesn't act soon, there are going to be a lot of families in Louisiana that are going to go from barely hanging on to being completely destitute because the federal aid that is keeping them afloat is going away very soon.
Doug Daigle writes, won't businesses or anyone else automatically pay less taxes if their incomes go down? So reducing the rates reduces revenues even more. That's from Doug.
He's absolutely right. I think when you cut taxes on business, you reduce the revenue that we have to invest in services that citizens expect. So you are not stimulating the economy. What you're doing is you're transferring resources from one sector of the economy to another.
Well, Governor John Bel Edwards, I'm sure, is doing things much differently than Eddie Rasponi would have, and he lost by just 40,000 votes, did Eddie Rasponi. There is a lawmaker, and this is Scott, who notes Alan Seabaugh up in Shreveport actually filed legislation to open things up, saying the governor was blowing it by having us at phase two. As we know, some states are going back to phase one. Should we be at phase three right now?
Absolutely not. I think the governor is handling this as well as can be expected. Obviously, this is an unprecedented situation. Nobody's been through a pandemic like this in, at least since 1918. So I think, if we open up and it backfires, then we're going to be paying for it a lot longer than if we're willing to make some sacrifices now and hopefully get to the end of this pandemic a lot sooner. So I think if you really want the economy restarted and fully open, the thing to do is stay home and wear a mask right now.
And a listener notes that it was a story in yesterday's Advocate about Congressman Clay Higgins was fired as a police officer for an incident involving what amounted to an assault on a black citizen. should Clay Higgins resign his congressional seat. Let's go to Capitol Hill with the guy who used to be there, Jan Mueller. What do you think about Congressman Higgins? Is he in hot water?
That's up to the voters of his district. I certainly think it's interesting that a man who's unqualified to work in law enforcement, he not only got fired by one police department, but I think there were a couple of others that said they wouldn't have hired him had they known about not only the assault, but he lied about the assault, according to the story that ran yesterday. Certainly that should be disqualifying for a member of Congress, but again, I also believe in the democratic process, and I believe the voters of that district, which is not my district, should make the final decision.
Well, the terrain is uncertain with COVID-19, what it does to the economy, how it affects the budget. I have a feeling that after tomorrow night, they'll be back sometime soon and very soon.
The speculation you hear at the Capitol is that they're going to come back in October. I think, trying to figure out what the state revenue picture is going to look like in a time with this much uncertainty is almost impossible.
We're short on time, but a listener notes your staff, and I have all their photos here. Miss Butkus, is she related to Dick, the great one?
No, but she is from Chicago.
Number 51, one of the great defenders of all time. Mean guy, too. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support for Talk Louisiana. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, Tony Spell will be with us. Stay tuned.